Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Dan Morrow. I just wrapped up a really deep, amazing conversation with Debbie Savigliano, who founded the children's charity Bianca's Kids. Now, they're headquartered not too far from me, and they have done some wonderful things for kids. And despite what you may think, it doesn't take much to just lend a helping hand and just help someone. Really. I mean, really all it takes, when you get right down to it, is just the want and desire to just go do it. That's all. Now, this was a really great conversation we had. It got deep. It got philosophical. At times, it got spiritual. And we talked miracles. We talked about your higher purpose. We talked about a lot of amazing stuff. And we made some great epiphanies along the way. So if you want to help Debbie and her organization, Bianca's Kids, that's biancaskids.org. Or hashtag Bianca's Kids, at Bianca's Kids. They're everywhere. They're all over the world. You know, you can find, you can access them, you know, through social media, internets, everything. They have an upcoming show that they're working on right now that they're looking to get produced, which actually is being produced, but they're looking to get some good backing from hopefully a good network. Maybe even Netflix might pick this up. Who knows? But I wish them a lot of luck. And here's the interview with me and Debbie.
Yeah, we're on.
One, two, three. One, two, three.
That's good? It. Yep. Perfect. I'll do the intros and everything in post-production and
okay.
stuff. It's come a long way.
Yes.
You guys have come a long way. Now we are in the headquarters, the nerve center of Bianca's Kids.
Yes, yes. It's small, but it's our home. It's been our home for the past 2.5 years. And I think we grew out of it the week we moved in it. But
yeah, you can't see it. And maybe I'll take some pictures and embarrass Debbie and put it online and just show. There's a ton of boxes. Are these all gifts?
This is,
I see skateboards.
Yeah, this is one big donation that we received about a week ago. And it's Aeropostale clothing and skateboards and basketballs and baseballs. And it's all brand new stuff. So now it's, you know, the intake of it that takes some time. But, you know, we'll hang on to it. And then because we all kind of work our full-time jobs, and we come in and we sort through a little bit of it at a time.
And do the inventory and everything.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you think it'd get this big?
No, I had no idea. I wanted it to. You know, all the desires I had enough desire and enough ambition to make it really big, but I didn't. I never imagined that we'd be where we are today with like 22,000, you know, kids and wishes granted and all over the country and even internationally and in a couple of countries outside of the United States. And, you know, I don't think anybody, I did not think. The short answer is no. I didn't think it would be this big, no.
So just to recap for listeners who are new to my show and new to Bianca's Kids, and I know you've done enough radio shows where you've got a Cliff Notes answer for this, just the facts and stuff. How did this all begin?
Okay, so Bianca's Kids started back in 2010, and in August of 2010, my niece Bianca, she was 21 years old, walking to work in Edison, New Jersey, she was hit by a car and killed instantly, and it was the grief associated with her loss that inspired me to start an organization in her memory. She was actually walking to a daycare. She worked with kids. She loved kids. She had a passion for dealing with children that were special needs. And she had all these hopes and desires to continue her education to work with special needs kids, which obviously would never come to fruition. So when she died, I did a lot of soul searching. And a lot of people will say, oh gosh, you're such a great aunt for what you did. The truth is, I wasn't a great aunt. And that's what made me do something for her. I felt I should have done more for her while she was alive. I should have helped her reach her dreams. You know, we all get busy with our own lives, and I thought she'd be there forever. So, you know, we went a long time without seeing each other.
You just take for granted that your relatives are always going to be there.
Of course, the young ones, you know, much less. A 21-year-old kid, I'm not thinking, is anywhere nearing death, you know. But you're right. You take that for granted. And I thought I learned the lesson when I lost my dad at 11, never to do that again. But life takes over and human nature take over. So I thought after she died, all the grief and the guilt associated with her loss really made me think hard about how I could make it up to her. And I figured I couldn't help her fulfill her dreams when she was alive, but I would in death, and I would just take over and her mission to help kids. And I actually promised her when she was laying in the casket at her wake, I promised her then that I would do something to help children in her name and memory. And it was a couple months after that that I established Bianca's Kids.
Now doing that, did you think maybe just a scholarship or something where you can collect money from investors or from charitable donations and stuff, and be able to help a child once a year or something with a nice scholarship or with a nice check, or being able to, you know, present a nice kid with a Christmas gift, or, you know, just grant a wish here and there. I'm sure those are your intentions, but what happened is it became thousands and thousands of kids that you wound up helping as a result. Did you expect that level?
So it's an interesting question. Nobody's ever asked me that question. And the answer is that the beginning, I knew that I had to do something. Mm-hmm. Because this black hole that now resided in my heart from losing her. I'm sorry, you don't go to the wake of a 21-year-old kid and not be changed by it. You know, one way or another, it's going to change it. This shook me to my core, and I was no stranger to loss before Bianca died. We had lost a lot of people in my family, tragically, car accident, like, terrible. But this particular death did something to me, and I knew at her funeral that I was not the same person I was before this happened. So the way this transpires is, I know I'm going to create a nonprofit. What is it that I'm going to do? She loved working with kids that dealt with separation anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
So I start off with contacting my local Division of Youth and Family Services offices, because I figured nobody deals with separation anxiety more than foster children. Right. Who were torn from their homes, their family, their school, their community. I said, and it was Christmas time. It was that time of year. I said, I'm going to provide a few gifts for foster kids. The problem is, you start that way, and you start thinking, okay, I'm going to do this maybe once a year at Christmas time. But it's the feeling that you get in giving back, and the lesson that I learned, and that there's so much healing in helping others. So it's almost like an addiction. I could not continue to do it because it was the only thing that helped heal that hole in my heart, that depression, that sadness, that grief of her loss. Anytime I wasn't focused on granting a wish for a kid or doing something, those feelings would seep back up. So between, you know, therapy and my priest and doing my work, that's how I got over the grief process and got through the stages of grief. But at this point for me, and I know I can speak for everybody on my board, it's a matter of what we get. It's a very selfish business to be in the nonprofit business, right? You know, you and I had conversations about the get back, you know? It's not monetary. It's actually worth more than monetary, right?
Exactly. When I was telling you earlier the story of just being able to give all, you know, at the end of the year, I have a giving fund, and I give all that money away at the end of the year. And when you're going to your favorite waiters and you're giving them 20s and you're giving every passing 20s around to everybody and saying, we'll give these to the people in the back room and stuff.
Yeah.
It gets addicting. And even my wife, you know, she understood the concept, but to be a part of it and see it happening,
yes.
You know, she wants to, you know, you can't keep that lump down in the back of your throat.
Right.
You know, you just, okay, now what can we do next year?
That's right. And that's, you know, I it's my famous saying, I say it all the time, I say there's work we do to feed our families, and then there's work we do to feed our souls. For us, it's work because we're running a company, mm-hmm. a nonprofit company. But what you're doing is what we're doing, just on a much busier level, which is to feed our souls.
Yeah.
It's the only time that you can get that feeling is when you are giving back to someone else, or, you know, just create a good deed. You know, it's kind of like you're in line with how you're supposed to be. Everything feels right for you inside. And that's what we need to do as human beings. We just have to tap into that side of ourselves that is starving to do good, to be good. And when you said that point about seeing it, you know, seeing somebody's face, this is why, you know, I guess we can tell the audience that part of what's going on with Bianca's Kids now, like a lot of things happen that I never anticipated. You know, it starts off with, I write a book about grief. Mm-hmm. Short, 75 pages. It was like cathartic. My sister told me to do it. Whatever, I published it. 100% of the proceeds would go to Bianca's Kids. And really, to sum it all down, it was just about teaching people that one little secret about healing and helping others. You don't feel good about whatever it is. You're addicted to drugs. You're broke. You're sad. You're hurt. Your boyfriend left you. You're depressed. You're grieving somebody's loss. Giving back to others can heal that part of your heart. That book gets turned into a documentary film. That documentary film goes to independent film festivals, wins awards, ridiculous. Okay, that turns into the idea of a reality show, which is where we're at now with Miracle Mob. And we have a production company that decided that they love the idea of this crazy dysfunctional Italian family.
We're all
family.
Characters.
I mean, and we're, that's right. We're insane. And that comes from, like, you know, the idea comes from having people be able to see what it is we do. When people can see their donation dollars at work, what I found over the past 9 years in being able to show people and have them share in the moment of a child getting their wish granted, they absolutely love it. They starve for it. We all do. Starve for, you know, hopeful things.
You know what I like? The world is what you make it. And if you choose to believe it is a certain way, it will be, but it's not. You know, I feel I get to write my destiny and write the way my life is going to go. And if anything goes wrong, pardon me, if anything goes wrong, it's my fault. So, you know, people think that what they see on the news, even though you look outside your town, there's no murders, there's no fires, there's not the extreme that you see on the news.
Right.
At any given day, in any given town, it's never the extreme you see on the news. They are scratching the bottom of the barrel for anything. If it bleeds,
so true.
It leads.
Yes.
And when you see someone and you help them in a way that they do not expect, you become a real life angel. You know, you've shocked them at their core, because you've just disproved everything that they've believed in at that moment, that, you know, people don't care.
Wow, that's very true. That is so true.
And you get to have the power to say you're wrong.
Yes.
And to show them in such a way to see that face, they wake up.
You know, it's so true. I never, ever thought of that.
I was just thinking of it now. I never thought of it that way until just now.
Wow, that is so interesting, because we often talk about when we leave our wish grantings and the connection that we make with the people, because a lot of times that's what we're doing. Mm-hmm. We are solving a problem for somebody that they can't otherwise solve for themselves. It's something for their children, whether it's a piece of equipment they need a better makeover, they need a much-needed vacation. Whatever it is, it's us, you know, showing up in their lives and saying, you know what, we do give a crap about you. Sure, we don't know you, but we know your struggle. We know you're having a hard time. You wanted this trip. You need it. You deserve it. Here it is. And the connection we make with these people it's like a soul connection. It's different. All their guards are down, let down. All ours are let down. And I really think that is why. Because at that moment, they realize that it really isn't all bad.
No.
That there are good people out there. That life can really be good.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I agree with you. It's not... Why is that the depiction of our society?
Yeah.
Why is that the microcosm? Like, there's so much good that goes on in the world.
Mm-hmm.
I often say to these producers when I'm talking to them, if we have copycat murderers, because that's all they show on television, why couldn't we have copycat do-gooders?
Exactly.
Just say you put on a few shows of good, like, why wouldn't it inspire kids or people to do good things if they could see
what
comes of it?
For the same reasons. for attention, and to get your name out there, and to do stuff. You know,
yes.
I'm sure that if you want to do good, you know, the sad fact is the media will jump at anything negative, and they will put that person out there. But to have those same motives, you know, would not. But if I could find the right thoughts, you know, people are starving for attention, and a twisted mind would say, "Let me hurt somebody to do something."
That's right.
Where
that's right.
A pure mind would say, or a confused person would say, "Let me just help somebody."
Yes.
To do that, you know.
And we should celebrate them. And we do that at Bianca's Kids. We will feature young kids that do great things, and we'll, you know, talk about them, put them in the spotlight. And I think, how sad.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'll see them in the media, you know, a young kid, you know, stops another child from being abducted. He's in the news for a day or two. That's it. But the kid that shot up Parkland and killed all of those kids,
mm-hmm.
every month they're reminding me about him and his deeds and what he did. And I'm like...
Mm-hmm.
Gosh, we've got it so backwards.
And that's what they'll focus on. They'll focus on policies. They'll focus on the actual event. But you take any terrorist attack, any bombing, any attack on kids, any school shooting, and they will spend days, weeks, and years on that one event. But what they really fail to do is show every single amazing story and good thing to come from those things.
That's right.
You know, you see the solidarity in people, helping other people, helping the victims. You saw it in the Boston Marathon. You see it everywhere throughout the world when there's an attack or a bombing and the buildings collapsed, and you're seeing just strangers trying to dig through rubble to help people. You know, if anything, it's horrible. It's absolutely deplorable in a way to think that it takes something like that to bring out, to expose who we really are.
Yeah.
And who we really are just people that care about other people.
Yeah.
You know, and it takes something like that, and you see the bad thing that happens, but you never focus on the good thing that happens after.
That's true.
And you know, people do want to help. I'm not saying, you know, it's a good byproduct of a bad thing. I'm just, you know, because nobody wants to see that kind of destruction.
No, and there's always good signs of humanity going on every day.
Yeah.
All over the world. It's just they feel that it's not news. They feel that we don't want to see it, and they're very wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I can't tell you how many people have already reached out to us. Now, while Miracle Mob is now in the process of being shopped, and our producers are trying to find a home for it, so people know that it's brewing. And there's already so much excitement over it, because they're like, I'm so tired of watching HGTV or the Food Network, because it's the only thing that doesn't depress me. You know, those people in Hollywood, I swear, they have it wrong.
They do.
They really do.
They do.
People are tired of it. Like,
and they are. And channels like YouTube and Netflix are changing that dynamic.
They are.
Because now you're having your own choice to pick what to watch.
What you want to watch, yeah.
And... You know, I can spend all day, and this is a self-indulgence of mine, and, you know, I'm going to lose all street cred, but I can, if I need a good emotional breakdown, I'll just sit all day and watch the soldier reunions.
Oh, God, who doesn't love that? Or when they reunite with the dogs? I do the same thing. I'm like, oh, God. But yeah, you know,
and
why
just
you want to?
Mush it
yes,
out.
People
just,
love that. Yes. Why do you think those videos go viral?
Yeah.
They're viral. They got millions of views on them, all of them.
Yeah,
people love that. They're like you. They want to tap into that.
I've
amazing...
always wanted to create a good news network.
Yes,
and to just celebrate that kind of stuff.
I think there's a huge demographic of people that are interested in that, and there's small signs of it because of the little that they give us every once in a while,
mm-hmm.
like Extreme Home Makeovers. That was one of the longest running television shows ever.
I still
ever.
Love that show.
It was a great show.
There was another one.
It's coming back out, as a matter
is
of
it?
Fact. They're rebooting it, yes.
I used to love that show, and I used to love The Locator.
Fantastic.
He would find the real
yes.
parents for the foster kids and
fantastic.
Stuff, or just
absolutely.
Reunite people.
Huge. Those shows are huge. I don't understand
mm-hmm.
why we can't have more than that. We want it.
Yeah.
people are begging for it. And we happen to have something in Miracle Mob that I think is a little different, because we do have, we've got the funny, you know, you got the drama, because we are a family. We're a big, you know, Italian, loud, obnoxious family. And then we have the work, which is
the core of the...
Yeah, the basis of what keeps us all,
you
know, together, and that moment, you know, that we all work so hard for, and really the ins and outs of a nonprofit. Like, what is it? Who run these things? Well, how does it work? How does it,
right.
It's the seeing what goes on and everything it takes to make that magical moment happen for that one child or family. It's an interesting thing. And I think it would inspire other people to do it too. And most importantly, to say, look, if this one woman who knew nothing about, you know, has no like big college degrees, knew nothing about nonprofits, if she can do this and her one little idea and can change the lives of 22,000 people, so can I.
Right.
So can mine. That's it. It's all we want to do.
Yeah. Now, did you feel like some kind of, you know, because in a way, like I said, I'm not very religious, but I'm spiritual, and you know, we have some kind of light emitting from us, some kind of spirit in us, and it's how I see people. I don't see races or anything. We're just, you strip down to our core, we're these essence of light.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
we just decide what shell we're going to choose, you know, and thus creating this human race. But you know, the oh my God! I lost my train of thought. But I'm not very spiritual. I'm very spiritual. I'm just not very religious. Mm-hmm. But in some kind of spiritual way, do you think that somehow you were able to channel Bianca in a way where you walked into that into that funeral home one way, you came out a totally different way.
Totally different. And yeah, here's where the story is.
As if you were almost a conduit.
Yeah.
Where she, you know, and I believe that they're there and they're seeing this, and if there's any way they can connect, they're going to find any opening in you to just boom.
All right, so I'm going to give it. So you're not religious, you're spiritual. So I'm going to tell you now the story of how this thing really started. It's what I wrote in my book. It's why my story was turned into a documentary film, and why it's different. There's a lot of people that start nonprofits. So what's so different?
Here's what's different. You weren't just inspired. You were inspired.
No, it's ridiculous. When you hear this story, it's ridiculous. I am sitting in my niece's wake, and I dreaded this day. I didn't want to go. I cried. I mean, I really, truth be told, I was on so much Xanax to calm my nerves. Like, the first visit was to my doctor. The second visit was to my priest. I picked up my Xanax, went to my priest, asked him, what the hell? What is this crap? And right across the street, by the way. And so it's 3 days after she passed away, and I am numb from, like, the medication, the crying, the shock. And I'm sitting in the funeral home, and I situated myself in a seat where I could see her face strategically, because I knew my time with her was limited. And I'm sitting there, and I heard something or someone in my ear say, you're going to start a nonprofit. And I looked at my husband, and I said, wow, dude, I've completely... Dan, I said, I've lost my mind. I'm hearing somebody just told me I'm going to start a nonprofit. True. And I had no idea really what a nonprofit was.
Right.
I didn't know what they were. I knew they existed. I didn't know what they were. They weren't a part of my world. I said, I just heard somebody tell me I'm going to start a nonprofit. Now, I was such a mess and so out of control, like crying and sobbing, that my husband was just like, all right, just, you know, don't worry about it. Be calm. It's probably all the shock, and just relax. It's okay. And he's trying to calm me down and everything. But I did hear this. I like a voice. I don't know if it was a man or woman or what, but I hear this. And I'm like, all right. I put it in the back of my mind. A few minutes later, from my peripheral vision, I see like all of these bright colors through my crying and my tears. I see all these bright colors which don't belong in this place that we're in, right? And so when I turn around and I focus in, it's this big mural that people are carrying in. And it's all of the little handprints of the children Bianca used to... colors, all the little kids she took care of at the daycare, her picture in the center, and all these colors of hands. And so as I'm staring at it, I hear that voice again, and it says, and that's going to be your logo.
Okay. Oh, wow.
So, Dan, I'm telling you, I jumped up out of my seat. I said, I've got to get out of here. I said to my husband, Mike, I got to get out. I can't sit. I'm losing, like, I'm really losing my mind. I've gone past the deep end. I got to get out. I walked outside. I had a cigarette, trying to process. Right. What just happened? What am I hearing? What is a nonprofit? What? And then it all started putting it together, and I'm like, maybe it's her telling me that she wants me to do something for her and her work for the kids and da, da, da. And that's when I go back up to the casket and I make that promise to her, and I said, if that's you, I will promise you that I will help.
Because you were so certain that this voice was just
positive,
so real.
And I look like a normal person to you, don't I?
Oh yeah,
I'm not like.
We all got our stories.
Yeah, I mean, because you're always afraid to tell that story to people because you feel like they're not gonna. But that is a fact. That is what happened.
I think it takes you to be at that point. I was at one of my lowest lows, and I've told a few people this, but I never really made it known. But I told a few people this. I was at such a low in my life, just emotionally. You know, and just going up and down with my own little bouts of depression and mm-hmm. stuff, and what's my purpose? I don't see it. I don't know how the dots are going to connect. And I just remember being in bed at like 2 o'clock in the afternoon, just curled up in a bed, just miserable, just at my lowest peak with just tears and just giving up and everything. And I almost cry myself to sleep in a way. But just before I fall asleep, I hear, you know, I all of a sudden I see myself on this hill at this fire in the middle of a desert at this little campfire with this like shaman or Indian in front of me. And he says, you heal with your voice. And it was in my face where it woke me up, where it was in the room. It didn't
real.
Sound like it was in my head at
right.
all.
No, mine
it,
either.
It was in my face as if he walked up to my face and said, you heal with your voice.
Wow.
And it's like, okay, well, I know what to do now. I don't know what to do, but I know I got to do something. So if I sing, if I'm doing this or whatever it is.
Because that moment in the funeral parlor was absolutely my lowest low in life as well. Yeah. I've never been lower than I was at that moment. And maybe that's when we're wide open to receive.
Mm-hmm.
Because if that happens to you at your lowest low, and you get your, and then
I'm thinking of it now, yeah.
And I didn't put that together either, but it definitely, I've never felt sadness, in an abyss that I said, I'm never going to get it. How is this ever going to get better?
Yeah, along with your sadness, it's, you know, I have nieces and nephews and cousins and stuff, and you know, life does take over. You know, and life just does get involved, especially if you have your own kids.
That's right.
But it seems like you had such a self-imposed guilt.
Oh God.
In a way.
Yeah.
You know, and what justified that?
You know, I don't know, Dan, and I always was that type of person. I didn't like. I would always have people. Let's say in this instance,
you're living your life. You're raising
people would
kids.
Say, you've had kids. You're raising your own. But I wouldn't forgive myself anything. I just wouldn't. And I think that part of that is because I needed to start this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I look back on it, you know, and I knew that realistically that all made sense. You know, like, yes, that makes sense. I started my own life, but I had time to call her. I could have gone to see her. I could have helped her. I could have spent,
right.
You know, so I think that the reason why it hit me as hard as it did, not because it wasn't, it is a tragedy beyond words. I don't know, like,
yeah.
Having to see my sister bury a child, my mother bury her granddaughter, my nephew losing his sister. You know, you grieve for everyone. It's such an enormous loss when you lose a kid. But I think the reason why it hit me as hard as it did is because that is what inspired me to start this.
Right.
And this was part of my purpose in life.
Yeah, you go from being in that, I guess it was a church or a funeral home?
A funeral home.
And just in one way, just you and her, you know, and you in the room with this casket and your thoughts and these ideas. Next thing, you're on the field with the Eagles, the Philadelphia Eagles, and, you know, the All-Stars and Super Bowl champions, and they're signing, you know, T-shirts and stuff, and you're giving them for kids, and yeah. and you're granting wishes, and it's become so much bigger than you.
Yeah.
You know, we're you know, not one person can handle all this, you know.
Well, a lot. There's a lot of divine intervention. So going back to channeling her, there are times throughout the past 9 years where even the people that work for me with Bianca's kids, they're like, yeah, how does that even happen? Like, how did all of that just happen? Mm-hmm. And I go, I don't know, but we're going to go with it. It's going to work.
And even with synchronicity, you know, the most insurmountable things to conquer, and you're like, how's this ever going to be pulled off?
Right. I got a kid that, you know, will be like, yeah, like before we, you know, I was in contact with the Eagles, I'd have so many kids asking, you know, about meeting the Eagles. And the interesting story there is that how life comes full circle is amazing. When I was 11, my dad was killed in a car accident. I lived in South Philly, and he was killed in a car accident out here in South Jersey. He had just turned 50. My mom was 36 years old, left with 5 kids. And obviously being from Philly, we were huge Eagle fans. And the only time we felt normal or happy after my dad passed away in those like early, you know, months in the first year was when we all gathered around the TV and watched the Eagles, right? So I had a friend who worked at a place called the 10th Inning, which you're probably too young to remember. It was right across the street from the stadium where people, you know, you go get a cheesesteak and you go to the game. Mm. So a lot of the players used to go in there. And this friend of one of my older sisters saw Wilbert Montgomery.
Okay.
Who was a superstar running back who happened to be on the Eagles, our favorite player. And she says to him, Wilbert, you know, he comes in for coffee every morning or whatever. And she says, you know, there's these 5 kids. Their dad just died in a car accident. You're there. They love you so much. And it would just make their whole life if they could meet you. Make a longer story short, he gets in touch with my mother. She thinks it's a joke. He says, can I come meet the kids? He surprises us, shows up at our house. This is before players had posses and PR people. And all. He came by himself.
Wow.
He drove over. He was the biggest thing, not on the Eagles, in the NFL.
No, I had a Montgomery
jersey. Yeah, there you
jersey.
Go. Wilbert was it.
And I didn't even know football at the time. I just knew. It was just, I wanted a Christmas present when I was younger. I wanted an Eagles helmet and a jersey.
Dan, you got the best jersey you could possibly get. The man was, he spent probably 4 hours with us, had a big Italian dinner with us, met all of our friends. And it was that feeling. Because that at that time, that was my wish, was to meet him. If I could have had anything, I wanted to meet Wilbert Montgomery. So it was that feeling that Philadelphia Eagle gave me that day. He proved to me that even though I lost my father, I could still smile again. I could feel joy again. And it's that feeling that I wanted to give other people, other children, through Bianca's kids. So that's how I decided to make it a wish-granting nonprofit. So the fact that I grant wishes now and bring them to meet the Eagles, and I'm watching these kids have the same exact reaction I did when I met Wilbert Montgomery, and forgetting about their pains and their sicknesses or their grief for a couple hours while I have them at training camp is like... It's like you tap into heaven.
It's just that minute of telling, you know, of allowing them to escape their world and just bring them into this.
That's right.
This, let them live this fantasy. Let them live this dream. And I think reality hit home for you. You were telling me earlier when we had our first meeting years ago that you wanted to help some foster kids. You know, what do they want? What kind of games, toys, you know? Things that they want, you know, fun things and material things. And they wanted tampons and underwear and socks.
Well, I'm glad to say that at least our local kids, that has changed.
Uh-huh.
Because we've been able to provide them all of that stuff. We continue to do that. We provide them all of their prom dresses. We pay for tons of things for them, tutoring and dancing school and... cheerleading classes and SAT prep courses, and every kid in our county that makes it to college gets a free laptop from us. We buy them a laptop, and if they go to a four-year university, we buy them their entire dorm kit, which is everything they need for their dorms. We've bought cars for foster kids. I mean, it's just been incredible, and we're so happy that we're able to do it for those children, because we know how much they struggle and they suffer. But our in Gloucester and Camden counties, at least, they know they can come to us for anything, and we're granting wishes for them all year long. A lot of them aren't put up on our page for the foster kids because of confidentiality purposes, but we're helping them all year long.
Tell me about this new spokesperson you've been having on the Instagram lately. Is it Gabriel or Gabe?
It's Giovanni.
Giovanni, okay, yeah.
Gosh, he is just, you know, I mean, 22,000 kids later, there's so many of them that, you know, you remember all of them, you can't remember all the names, but every one of them brings something else to the table, to you and to your heart and to your soul, and Giovanni just touched us all. He's got Schwartz-Jampel syndrome,
okay,
which is a form of dwarfism that creates a ton of problems skeletally, and you know, he's just, he's got a spirit about him that, you know, he reminds us every day that there are no excuses. And so, being a huge Eagles fan, he needed a new bedroom. His bedroom, he had not, so we created just the most awesome Eagles man cave for him.
I saw
last
that
year.
Man cave. It's awesome.
He loves his man cave.
I want that man cave.
I do too. I do too. He loves his man cave, and then we told him we were going to take him to meet the Eagles, and we did. We brought his family. They live about 4 or 5 hours away, so we put them up in a hotel room, and he lives for Carson Wentz.
Does he?
And as luck would have it, every single Eagle came by to sign autographs and meet the kids, except Carson last year. So now what do I got to do? I got to make it right with Giovanni and bring him again.
Oh, no.
So he's got to come again this year, yeah. So, it's funny because he's so cute and he's so animated. Mm-hmm. And I'll say to him, do you think you can make like a video for me and tell people to like our Miracle Mob page? Like, can you do that?
Oh,
and
he's a character.
He does. And I pay
he's
him.
He's not shy.
In toys. No, this is it. Like, we do stuff all like this all the time. So he just
bribe him in
yeah.
toys.
I go, I can't pay you. Like, I can't because I don't, can't like run a sweatshop here. But here's what we'll do. I said, you make me a video and Miss Debbie will send you something, you know, good. So he did. Of course,
he's
knocks
adorable.
It out of the park.
I love watching all your little Instagram posts and stuff. There are certain posts that just I'll see, and they'll haunt me forever.
Really?
And this is one of them.
Oh, God.
All right.
Yes.
What's the status on him? Is he okay? Is he not okay?
Wow, Dan, that's a while ago.
Yeah.
I don't know. That picture.
I don't even know if I have his name, but I've kept that picture because it's
wow,
just
it
as
does,
a father.
You're right.
And stuff. It's a little boy with leukemia. He had leukemia.
Yeah.
And it was just a bad night he had, and he, you know, it's just something that his mother posted to show the pain that a child goes through in their day to day thing.
Yep.
And he had such a face of just
agony.
Yeah. And I don't want to see any kid deal with that. And it was so heartbreaking that I keep it in my phone always. You know. Life ain't that bad, Dan.
That's exactly right. And that's what I was going to tell you. The beauty
you know?
Of what we do and having people be able to see what we do
mm-hmm.
is that you remember to count your freaking blessings.
Yeah.
You don't know what problems are until you're a parent of a child that is battling cancer and agonizing chemotherapy treatments and losing your house because one of you had to quit your job and not seeing your kid for months because you got to work to pay for whatever. Like, these are problems.
Yeah. And, and I love you guys. So I follow you guys on Instagram all the time.
You.
I'm always following Instagram, Bianca's Kids. And what I love, you know, you'll show a child, you'll show the progress of the child and stuff, but also I grieve when you because I feel like I'm part of this.
You've been with us for years.
When you lose a child, and that's heartbreaking, you know, because, you know, it's not an intentional pattern, but there's a pattern. You'll say, you know, send your prayers to this one. We could use his prayers. And then, you know, he or she, they're fighting. And then you'll just put that one post that nobody wants to ever post, you know, but they fought a good fight, you know, but they lost it. They lost their battle. And it's you just grieve. And it's almost like a sport. I don't want to say that and sound disheartening, but as you would for your favorite team, you're rooting for your favorite players. You know, watching Bianca's kids is kind of like, you know, being a part. And hopefully, you know, with Miracle Mob, that can give that same kind of feeling where you start to you see your team. And, you know, I would look at your organization as a football organization. And the team players are actually
the kids.
And you root for them and stuff, and you'll strive for their victories, and you will grieve in their losses. And you know, so like, when I'm watching and I see that we lost a kid or, you know, something happened, I'm like,
we're actually
oh
going
my
through
God.
It right now.
Him, right?
Kajan, we lost, last 2 years ago, Christmas, but we actually have one right now that, in fact, right.
And you sent him to Disney World and
stuff. We did, yeah, for his senior.
You guys did a lot for him.
Yeah, and I'm glad. And
yeah.
We took him to meet the Eagles. He was a big Eagles fan, and that was maybe 6 months before he died. So we were so happy that we could make that happen for him. He's one of the other, like him and Giovanni were always my, you know, they touch my soul like that. And right before I met with you, I sat with my cousin Gabriella, who's my vice president, and you know, it just unbelievably, we're talking about one of our kids who's dying, and you know, we had so much hope for him, and you know, I just called the mom to see how he was doing. I haven't spoken to her in a year, and she said it's a matter of time. It's spread all over, and you know, sometimes I say to Gabby, like, I can't do this shit anymore. Like, I can't.
But think of their lives without you.
And that's what, and then we just remind ourselves, we're like, okay, all right.
So even the parents, you know.
Yeah.
Some of the parents, you know, they probably are just so disenfranchised with everything, from what doctors have said, from what, just the bills, just what, you know, they feel like life has just kicked them.
Yes.
You know, and it's been a constant struggle and stuff, and there is no fantasy of someone just coming and helping you. You know, that's something in the movies or something that doesn't happen in real life. And that's where you guys come in. Unfortunately, you can't help everybody.
That's right. And I got to talk myself out of it. You're 100% right, because you remind me of a conversation we had with Giovanni's parents, who, when we get there to do the bedroom makeover, you know, these things are usually in the works for a couple months, you know, and then, okay, we're there, it's today. And they said to us, like, we can't thank you enough for giving us something so bright to look forward to. All we do is look forward to the next doctor visit, the next surgery, the next, you know. And they said for us and for all of the kids, this was like so exciting, knowing that we had this to look forward to. So those are the moments that we think about. You know, we think about, yes, you know, we lost this child, but one day, for one day in their short existence on this earth, they were a star. They were chosen. We made them feel amazing. And that's what I got to keep telling myself when we get, you know, lose a kid. And
they remain stars.
Yes, they do.
And maybe have a memorial of stars.
And I've been wanting to do a memorial park forever.
And just little stars. You know, you do it on your wall or do it in a park or something.
Yes.
And they can remain stars. They're not stars for a day now. They're stars. They'll forever be stars.
And I think they're up here there with Bianca.
And it doesn't even have to be a memorial as much as it could just be a scoreboard of just all your victories. Whether someone has passed or not, you know, we've helped this one, we've helped that one. You are always going to be a star. Yeah. You know? And you know, hopefully the most that you can ever hope for is that they grow up to be in a position where they're healthy and can pay it forward.
Yeah.
And can share that and can do that, because they know it's not just in the movies, you know.
That's right.
And anybody can be a real life hero, and it doesn't take much, you know, just contributing
any little
to the organization.
Any little thing. You know a single parent? Drop a pack of diapers off in front of their door.
Yeah.
And leave. Don't make them feel uncomfortable. Just, that's it. Like, you just throw an extra 20 around to the guy in the back, to the mm-hmm. bus boy, to the... That's it.
Yeah.
All of those little things. And then good deeds breed good deeds. I mean, Wilbur Montgomery coming to my house, you know, 40 years ago, I'm sure he never in a million years thought would ever wind up in one of us thinking back on that moment and saying, I'm going to create a nonprofit thanks to him. And
he's
all
had
of
a
these
full
kids.
Career. He's, you know, he's lived how many years? He's done so many things. How many hours was he at your house?
Maybe 3 or 4.
3 hours made how much of a difference that lasted decades?
Wow. And I tell the Eagles when
and
I'm
it's
there.
It's those little moments that will last decades.
I tell the players that you never know what impact you're having mm-hmm. just by saying hi, giving them a moment, signing their autograph, saying a few words to them. A lot of the Eagles players, when we're there, will see they have a child that has the same
jersey.
Oh, my sister had. No, my sister no. has cerebral palsy as well. Is that,
oh, okay.
Oh, I had a leg thing when I was a kid. I wore a cast for years. And so them doing that,
yeah.
I mean...
It's more personal for them,
yes,
as well.
And then the kids go, you know what? Maybe I can get out of this thing. Maybe I can become him. Maybe I can do what he's doing. And it's giving them hope. And who doesn't need hope?
So what's the best way to get a hold of you and the best way to get a hold of this organization? It's biancaskids.org.
That's right. And now we're on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. You know, we'd ask everybody, please follow us. The more followers equals
I follow
more
you
support.
Guys.
Thank you so
I
much.
You
I know you do. You've been a supporter for years.
I love you guys.
And we so appreciate it.
And now I'm excited for Miracle Mob.
Yeah, me too. I'm hoping that, you know, it does exactly what we think it will, because I think it'll launch... not just the organization into another stratosphere, but I really truly believe that we can show people that helping others is cool.
Yeah.
It's cool. It's not for the left. You know, it's not just for celebrities and, you know, billionaires
right.
to do charity work. No, we can do it ourselves.
And where do you go from there? Are you shopping at networks or
yeah.
Netflix or just anyone that'll
both.
Take it?
Both. No, not, yeah.
yeah.
They, well,
Amazon.
The producers are really looking for a network at this point. Heartland Films are
Someone with a budget, I guess.
Yeah. You would need a budget to do this, obviously. And we want a big impact.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we really think that we have something golden here. We know that it's something that people would actually love. You know, where they could laugh. They could, you know, do a little crying. They can be inspired. And then they can watch this.
Yeah, and I want it to be one of those shows that I can shut off and feel the way I feel when I've watched The Locator or when I've watched Extreme Home Makeover or
right.
when I'm watching those soldiers coming home and,
that's
and
exactly
stuff, and
what it is.
Just feeling good.
That's exactly what it is. Mm-hmm. Who doesn't want it?
No.
You know, it would be a good thing, I think, and I think it would inspire others to do some good and to get back that we were talking about, because people need to know. Like, for a very long time, I would see people like John Walsh, whose child was not just abducted, not just murdered.
Right.
You know, his head's chopped off. I mean, I don't mean to sound depressing.
The child was mutilated.
They mutilated this poor child, and he didn't. Mm-hmm. They didn't find him for the longest time. And I mean, nobody suffered more than this man and his wife. And he's done so much good. I remember looking at him before Bianca's Kids happened to me, and I said, what would inspire somebody like him to give back? Like, why would you even care about other people at that point? I would hate the world.
Right.
You know what I mean? I'd be so...
I think it would take him to have one of those epiphanies. You can't go any lower.
And that's exactly what it is.
You are so low that something...
Your higher purpose.
Is telling you at this moment, stay on course. You know, it's as if we're part of this experiment... And
yeah.
there's other gods or spirits around us at all times. They can't intervene at all. But there are rules. Like, if we get to this point, okay, well, you can give him, you know, a
throw
hint.
Him a little something.
Throw him
yeah.
a hint.
Right,
just
right.
give them a hint. Okay, look, you heal with your voice. Look,
right.
you're going to do a nonprofit. You know,
yeah.
just these
right.
little hints that, you know.
She's not getting it. So just smack her
right.
into. But yeah, that's
and
what
And that's
I
what a miracle is.
That is. It is. And for him and for people like me and for people like you, when you get that higher purpose, you hear these people,
mm-hmm.
oh, I sold my billion-dollar company to go sell seashells in you know, Puerto Rico, and you're like, yeah, okay, whack job. And then when it happens to you, and you go, there's no saying no
yeah.
to it. You can't say no.
No, it just seems, it seems so logical, and everyone will think you're crazy. And you're like, look, I'm sorry. I have to do this.
I have to do it. Have to.
I am so compelled to have to do this that I can't imagine the alternative if I don't.
No, there is no saying no.
It's not even an option.
That's exactly.
And I think even if you are a millionaire, there's a book I haven't really read it thoroughly. I've looked at it. It's called The Monk Who Sold His Ferrari. And I believe it's that same concept. You can have what people think is all the luxury and money in the world, but if you are so empty and you can have those lows, and we see celebrities go through them all the time.
Sure.
How many have OD'd and have suicides and stuff that we thought, hey, I would love your life.
Yeah, no.
You know, but if there is that big thing missing and you get to the lowest of the lows and there's no further place you can go, you know, maybe sometimes you just shut everything off where that voice that's telling you, no, do this, do this. You don't want to listen. And some people succumb to their own life. They take their own lives.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's others who do heed that warning or get that hint. And no, your life is meant for this. And once they hear that, they say, well, it can't get any worse than what I have. So any step is going to be progress for me. And if I heal with my voice, then let me do something. If you're meant to do a nonprofit, what's the worst that can happen? It can't get any worse because you are at your absolute lowest.
Right.
You know, if this guy has to sell off all his millions and so he don't care, he's at his lowest. If he's intelligent enough to amass millions, he can
do
make
it again.
He'll do it again. But in the meantime, he'll know what to do better.
And he also knows that that's not where happiness lies.
Exactly.
It's just not there.
It's not.
Mm-mm.
It's not.
No, it's not. And I think that, you know, I'm such a huge fan of Tim Tebow, and I think that this kid, like, had it figured out a long time ago. Like, he knows. And it doesn't matter who it is that you believe in, God, the universe, Buddha, Jesus, whoever. You've got to connect with where you come from to figure out what your higher purpose is. Once you get it, the seas part, the stars align, everything works.
It makes sense. Everything just makes sense.
Everything falls into place for you. You're not, you know what I mean? There was never anything that I could say in the past 9 years that, you know, people are like, imagine, people, you're a wish granter now. Now you gotta make, like, you gotta make wishes a reality. Okay, great. How do I go about doing that? Because every kid's wish is different.
Mm-hmm.
It involves so many people to make it happen.
Now, you guys are pretty established. Do you still have those barriers? I would assume...
Not as many. No,
not as
much.
Many, but...
Right. But yeah, you know, the only barriers I really face ever are the kids that want to meet the celebrities.
Right.
That's it. Because it's just not, that's another thing. Like, if we made it on television, then I'd have a list of celebrities that would be happy to grant a wish for the kids that, you know, dying kids that I'm dealing with, who I know want just, you know, that's the only wish, you know, we have not been able to.
Right. And that's just a hard wish.
Yeah. I just don't have control
right,
over that.
Right. And you're counting on people that are being, you know, they have your wish and a list of 80,000 others.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So... If we can't do that, we will reach out to them and say, look, it's just not something we can make happen, but why don't you change it up? Give me something else they really want or they really need.
I think I asked you in the last time I met you. The last time we talked, it was for my video series, which is Out of the Box. And people can find that still on YouTube, Out of the Box with Dan. And I think I asked, you know, what's the future like? Hold for you, and what would you like? And I think one of the things you wanted was a place of your own, your own headquarters,
right,
which is where we are now. It looks friggin' great.
Thank you.
And but 2 years from now, where
2 years
are we?
From now, 2 years from now, I want to have an award-winning television show about one of the best nonprofits that, you know, started out with a text from, you know, a person that knew nothing about it to her friends. I mean, that's really where our focus is. And the reason why the focus is there is because to a nonprofit, to have a television show is the equivalent of a homeless person winning Powerball. You know,
right.
That's the analogy.
Yeah.
It really
Mandela.
Is.
you know, going from president to being the president of that country.
Of the country, right.
You know, I find we were talking about, you know, those that voice that comes into your being a miracle in itself, which at that moment when I was saying it made me realize, you know, miracle mob goes both ways. Not only are you granting miracles, but it was a miracle that made this happen.
All of it happened.
Yeah.
And we're accepting, like I told you, the selfish part of it, which we would share with the audience.
Yeah.
Which is the miracles that happen for us every time we grant a wish and see a child who, you know, I mean, we deal with everything. Children whose parents were murdered, kids that are sick and struggling, kids that are terminal, kids that are not terminal, kids that are just poor, neglected, abused.
Mm-hmm.
So to be able to see the miracle of, you know, that smile, that little bit of happiness, that glimmer of hope, that making them feel special. It's a give and take.
Well, good luck with all that.
Thank you so
much. Good luck with all that. And everybody wants to get a hold of you, it's biancaskids.org.
Yes. Or they
And that's for you.
Oh, thank you so much. You're the best. I love you, Dan. You've just been
I love you guys.
So awesome to us.
I wish I could help more. I love this thing from day one.
I know, and you've been there for that long.
You know, when I was looking for things from my first show, for Out of the Box, I was so enthralled by this whole organization, and then realized it's two blocks from my house.
I know, how great.
That was, you know, there's no such thing as coincidences.
No, I don't think so either.
No.
I'm so far beyond that at this point.
And we click, so that's great.
It's kind of like old, like we've known each other a long time,
yeah.
And we didn't, but I want to thank you. I thank you for giving us the time, you know, back then, because, you know, it's obviously the bigger you get, the more people want to talk to you. And so we're so appreciative that you did take time with us. You did want to talk about us. You did want to find out who we are before we were anything.
Mm-hmm.
So we really appreciate that a lot. And I appreciate you giving me the time today. And you're just amazing. So yeah, to reach us on any of our social media pages, it's at Bianca's Kids. People can email me personally at Debbie@BiancasKids.org, or they can go on our website and check out some of the wishes we've granted.
That's another thing. This is a pretty big organization now. It's getting a lot of notoriety, but you are very accessible.
We try to be.
Yeah.
Yeah, we try to be, absolutely. And you know, listen, we don't forget people
that
are there and helped us along the way, you know. It's just, we appreciate that. We don't forget that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll come back in two more years when you have
Grammy?
After the Grammy and the Emmy, and you got the three-story complex.
That would be amazing.
I need a security card to get in.
That would be amazing.
That would
be amazing. Thank you so much, Dan.
You're welcome.
And if you want to find out more about Bianca's Kids, go to biancaskids.org. That's BIANCAS. Kids, KIDS.org. You can find them online everywhere. Hashtag Bianca's Kids, at Bianca's Kids. They do the whole social thing, the Twitter, the Facebook, the Instagram. Follow them on Instagram. It's a blast. I love looking at their stories all the time. So check them out. I'm Dan Morrow. Everybody, hey, have a great day.